of the Youth Ministry Podcast for Volunteers. If you're a volunteer who works with teenagers, this podcast is for you. We are so glad that you've taken time out of your busy schedule, everything that you've got going on. I don't know, Jennifer, maybe they got nothing going on. Maybe we're like their last option.
They woke up this morning and they said, like, yes, another episode.
I mean, it's possible. But anyway, you're in the right place. We're glad you're here. I'm Chris Trent, and I work with the Next Gen Ministry for the Georgia Baptist Mission Board. I have been working with teenagers for a little over 30 years. I'm a product of youth ministry because a youth pastor reached out to me and invited me to a youth camp where I made a decision to follow Jesus. And I love pointing teenagers to Jesus. I'm excited every week to be joined by my awesome co-host, Jennifer Fletcher, a good friend as well, and a former co-worker together. Jennifer,
yeah.
How's it going? How's life? I feel like every time all I ever am able to say to you, how are the kids? You know, because I know that's kind of all encompassing right now.
how are the kids? I heard them
earlier because I called you earlier as we were getting ready. And I heard them all in the car, and it was like a pretty exciting
moment. Yes, Chris called me. I was driving home to feed my children lunch from stuff this morning. And, you know, if you're a volunteer and you're listening to this right now and you have kids in your car, you know, when somebody calls you and it connects through your car, you're like, get ready.
Get ready.
Here we go. There's a lot of background noise. But yeah, no, we're doing well.
No doubt about it. Yep. Well, hey, friends, before we jump into today's episode, please be sure to subscribe to the podcast on whatever podcast platform you use. And we would love it if you leave a review. We've started getting some of those, and it really does help us get the word out. It affects what's called the algorithm, both for, Apple and Spotify and all those different podcast platforms. So that really would help us out. So, Jennifer, I'm just guessing here. I'm taking just a shot. I'm thinking you're probably pretty excited about today's guest. Am I right?
You know, it's funny. I have loved being on this podcast with you, and I feel like some people today are going to be like, oh, wow, the girl host is excited about talking about girls. But, oh, my gosh, I'm so excited. I can't wait. Y'all, we are talking about girls ministry today, and it is amazing. If you've been listening for a while, you know that I spent most of my time in vocational ministry in girls ministry. And so this is a topic near and dear to my heart. And we have got Angela Sanders, y'all. She is the greatest, the expert on girls ministry. Angela, you've written an awesome resource for ministers out there, Effective Girls Ministry from the Ground Up. And we are just so excited to have you today.
Thanks. It's so good to be here.
So tell us a little bit. Yeah. Tell us a little bit kind of about your involvement in girls ministry, why you have a heart for girls ministry, other than the like, oh, she's a girl and she's in ministry. Maybe she wants to do girls ministry. More than that.
I feel like you just mocked every
guy. I did.
Yeah. That was, I like the voice. I like the voice she used. That was great. Bye, Chris. No.
This is going to be a brutal 15, 20 minutes for me.
No. No. Well, I tell you what, my husband Todd and I have been in ministry together for 30 years. 20 of those years were spent in the local church. We were in three different churches during our ministry in the local church. And then my husband, about 16 years ago, went to work for the Oklahoma Baptist Convention. And he is the program director for Falls Creek Youth Camp, which we do 8 weeks a summer, but we're there for 10 weeks because it takes some setup and some tear down. So, but anyway, we have been partners in ministry we've been partners in ministry all that time. Anything that Todd has ever been involved in, I've also been heavily involved in. I think it was our second church. We'd been in ministry for about 6 years. And some girls and I, on a mission trip, sat down and we found ourselves just craving time together and talking about things that we really couldn't talk about with the guys present. And I have to give them total credit for this. They said, we want something just for us. And I'm very thankful that the Holy Spirit pricked my heart at that moment and was like, listen. So I started meeting with these girls. We launched a ministry that we ended up calling Chi Circle for reasons we don't have time for. It was amazing how God blessed that ministry.
Good old sorority time. I love it.
Yes. Well, that's what they were saying. They were saying, you know, we hear about sororities, but that seems to be more about exclusion than inclusion and loving each other the way that we're supposed to love each other as, you know, sisters in Christ. And we want a place where we can learn to love each other and invest in each other and just be with women and learn what it looks like to live our lives for Jesus without always having to take into consideration, you know, the guy's side of things. And they really were very aware of the fact they only had 6 years in youth ministry and they wanted to get all they could. And so we started this ministry. God did amazing things, which if you want me to expound, I can, but I know we have a lot to get to. But I just seeing the desire in those girls to have that time that was dedicated to that and seeing them earnestly seek the Lord and step into the ministry God had for them, not just prepare for it later, but step into it as middle school girls and as high school girls and seeing God call and equip and them leading each other to Christ and the way it ministered to not just the girls in our youth ministry, but also women. We had volunteers in their 90s as a part of this, and it all just sort of unfolded organically. And so I've taken everything we've learned and try to put it into that book. But I can tell you more if you want, but I just get very excited about it. So I'm going to assume that, you know, I should probably wait a minute to talk more about it. So, no, I love it.
We're going to circle back in a minute, everyone. If you're listening, we're going to circle back and give Angela at the end an opportunity to tell everyone where you can find the book, because it really is a tremendous resource. I've looked, I've had it now for couple months. Wife, actually my daughter Abby, who's going into ministry, and Wendy, we're both loved it. Who wants to be his girl? Yep, girls minister as well. And now Jennifer's looked at it. So Angela, here's my hope today, because we have a bunch of volunteers, and guys, I hope you've not stopped listening. Don't stop listening, fellas, because there's stuff in here for you as well.
Exactly.
But my hope, really, the reason I wanted to invite you on was two big things. One, why should churches consider having a girls ministry in the first place? You know, why does it need to be something separate? You've kind of already touched on that as far as the heartbeat of that goes. So I'd be curious about that. And Jennifer, of course, you could chip in because you've done girls ministry a long time, right? Okay. But I'd also be curious, considering the fact that these are all volunteers that are listening today, what are some tips? Like, let's say there is a volunteer that's at a smaller to mid-sized church. Maybe there's not a lot of officially full-time paid staff or even part-time paid staff, but they're interested in maybe doing this from a volunteer standpoint.
Right.
Could you maybe give them a few tips to start, right?
Yes.
So those would be kind of where I'd love to go over the next few minutes.
Great.
So let's start with the why. You know, why should churches considering doing this in the first place?
Okay. Well, I want to be, I've seen girls ministry done well, and I've seen it done in kind of, and me using a sports analogy is actually pretty funny, but in an arm tackle approach to it. And so, I want to be very clear that girls ministry isn't always what people assume it's going to be. The bottom line is that girls following Jesus doesn't mean anything different for a girl than it means for a boy. But the challenges that we face as we follow Jesus are nuanced by gender. And so I think it benefits us to spend time with people of every generation that are facing or have gone through the same challenges without the distraction, without the consideration of the guys. That's not to exclude them. I'm a, you know, if when in my book it says, your question may be, why not guys ministry? And I agree with that. Why do guys ministry? And you can follow the same process I would recommend. But right now we're talking about the girls. And I think it's really beneficial for them to have time to spend time with other women talking candidly about the things that they're going through as girls and as women who are trying to follow Jesus. In the world that we live in, the challenges that we face are a little bit different. In general, maybe the same, but just a little bit different. And so I think that it's good for us to spend time together. And modeling, I think, is the key component of an effective girls ministry. We do a lot of telling teenagers what they're supposed to do, how they're supposed to love one another, what their mission is. And then they may not get as much time as maybe like when I was growing up and there wasn't the separation in the personal life that there is now. We got to see people do that. There's not as much opportunity for that now because everyone's behind their screen, interacting behind their screen. And so setting aside a special time to have face-to-face time, spend actual life together where you can like bump elbows, that kind of thing. I think it's crucial. It's almost like a we've got to make up for what we've lost situation at this point, because girls do need to see what it means to do the things we're asking them to do, to study scripture, to discuss the Lord openly and without being intimidated, how to include people, how to apologize, how to restore broken relationships, how to pursue God's call in your life and not let culture tell you what you can and can't do. All of those things, they need to see that modeled both in the way that we interact with them and the way adult women interact with one another. Sometimes I think that we tell them one thing and we do another thing. We say, go include everyone, and then we're cliquish over here. We've all got to work at that together. So I think that girls ministry is the only way to make up that ground in the amount of time that we have. And I can't stress that enough. I think we think about now too much, and we don't realize how short the window is that we have them and how much we have to accomplish. So setting aside special time is important.
I think it's great. I love that you touched on too, the mentorship aspect of it, you know, and I understand I've worked in student ministry as just a girl without a formal girls ministry. And so obviously I did ministry with girls.
Right.
And then obviously worked as a girls minister. So therefore a formalized girls ministry. But it's kind of the same reason if you're a volunteer listening, maybe you have been impacted by a women's ministry or a men's ministry at your church. And I think a huge impact of that is just the mentorship that can be provided. I see how my husband's been mentored by older men who then have influenced him, and he's able to mentor then younger men. The same thing is true with our girls. And I always love too, in student ministry, it's so cool to maybe you have some middle school girls and you start mentoring them. And then by the time they're upperclassmen in high school, they're pouring back and learning how to be, I say multi-generational within their 7 year span.
But no, it's absolutely true.
Skills and the necessity of girls impacting each other.
So yes. I love that. Yes.
I think that there's so many great reasons that we could go into. And then too, you touched on, you know, a guy's ministry. I know the church that I served as girls minister, we were having, the Lord was just providing some great success in retreats that we were doing with just the girls and just getting to have that vulnerability time where you're not putting on a show, where it's not
right.
Girls are way less clicky if you're a volunteer, especially if you're a man listening, you're like, girls are so clicky. They're way less clicky without you present.
That's
they're
very
way
true.
More chill.
And I don't even guys. Really, I don't think they even realize why. Yeah. That's very
no,
true.
No. But then out of that, we got to see some then girl stuff that happened and then some guy stuff that happened that then both went in to strengthen our overall student ministry as a whole, which was really cool.
That's when we started Man Treat.
Man Treat, yes.
And it was amazing because we like didn't take showers the whole weekend. And
that doesn't sound
but
fun.
But it was cool. We did a girls retreat and a guys retreat.
Right.
Why am I on this episode? Y'all keep talking. I'm going to back up.
Yeah. No, we love it though. But yeah, we did. I don't know, Chris, you and I were serving together at the time. I feel like it strengthened that ministry as a whole for the girls to become more confident and have relationships, and same for the guys. And then it was good for them to come back together.
Yeah. And we're not going to jump into a lot of this, like as far as what are the benefits per se. I think they're just kind of inherently obvious as we're talking through this. But Jennifer, I think that's a great point. And we didn't talk about this, you know, pre-show, but one of the major reasons why this will this is such a good idea for any size church is I genuinely believe I think it's going to strengthen your overall youth group. The fact that you've given girls a place to be girls, guys a place to be guys, and they're able to establish some of that. It could be really, really strong. Yeah,
it goes back to, you know, we talk a lot in student ministry, and we should talk about, hey, maybe you've got kids that have grown up in the church and they need to learn to make their faith their own, right? It's not that my mom and dad are Christians, but I have to make a decision. There's something unique, I think, and sweet that can happen when you just get girls alone where they realize, oh, it's not my culture or my friend group or my school or my whatever. When they're alone with just their peers that are the same gender, they just have this unique ability to, I think, to listen and to hear like, oh, I can think for myself. I can make my own decisions. I get to choose this faith or ask questions about it or really take ownership of it, which is amazing.
Well, and I would say too, I mean, sometimes depending on your church structure, you may have some of that time, in Sunday school, you know, in your small group time, but it's not the same. It's not the same because on the outside of that, they're going back to the large group. I think having them pulled apart for an extended time where there's no pressure before, there's no pressure after, we can let down, we can get into it, there's social time after, it gives them a chance to just be the girls. And I don't think that what we're talking about here can necessarily always happen in the 20 minutes, 30 minutes that you may have left in Sunday school after whatever else is going on. I think sometimes having extended time after that is the important thing where they don't have to think about the before and the after. And I know that our girls really appreciated being able to, they were looking for places to bring guests, and a lot of their guests were intimidated by the large group, you know, setting the guys and girls together, but they would come hang out with other girls, and it gave them a chance to build genuine friendships that had nothing to do with the guys. So when the guys were at it, it didn't rock dynamics the way it had before. And I don't think they even know why that happens sometimes, but that the girls were so solid that the any competition, any, you know, the yucky stuff that can come with being a teenager, it just sort of dissipated, and they became very much about the mission of bringing more girls in, more girls in. Our group grew from 13 a week to over 120 a week, and our youth group was only running 135 on Sunday morning. And so that was a big deal.
Y'all heard it here. Wow. If you will buy
no
book, she is committing.
No.
If you don't,
that's not what I'm saying. No, I'm just saying now. God no, did that. That's what I'm saying.
How much it fit
you
a need.
You didn't say that at all. I'm just being silly.
Yeah. It shows you, too, how much it fit a need that these girls were looking for. They're looking for community, and you're able to provide that in a biblical way, which is great.
Jennifer, I'll tell you straight up. Like, there's no – again, I didn't really think about this because as we're getting into the weeds here, there's no doubt in my mind that some of the people that ended up getting involved in our youth ministry – the front door for them was not the big group where it was guys and girls, was not that, but it was those girls ministry type events. I'm thinking back to Flourish, you know, the weekend event you had that you called Flourish.
Yes.
You know, some of those girls, even parents at times, they, like a parent would feel more comfortable just dropping off, you know, their younger daughter.
Yes.
Or even, you know, at an event like that. Huge, huge thing. So let's do this, Angela. Let's then kind of inch in here to the idea of, again, volunteers. Maybe at this point they're like, okay, I'm hearing this, and I think God may be kind of, like you earlier said, God pricked your heart. Maybe somebody's listening and they're kind of like, man, you know what? I feel like God may be trying to tell me something here. Maybe this is something we ought to look into in our youth group. And so what are some starting points with that, though, for a volunteer that wants to just get this going?
Well, I do want to hit on this really important aspect of girls ministry. I think it's important to remember that whatever you do that you label girls ministry, that it falls under the umbrella and the leadership of the youth minister, whoever is in charge of that ministry as a whole. It should never become its own little kingdom. And if it does, then we've modeled the wrong thing and it's counterproductive. And so we don't want to do that. I think you always have to go to leadership with whatever you believe that the Lord is laying on your heart. If there's not a youth minister, go to the pastor, whatever. You don't want to just go rogue on this thing. But I have had women over the years that will go, I really want to do this because I think this is where we can do our thing. And it's more of a, in opposition to what's happening, that can't be where you start. So if that is anywhere in their motivation, like I want to do my own thing, I want to be in charge of something, you know, maybe pray through that, check that, and work with leadership before you proceed. Maybe that's go bring someone with you for accountability, because we're not here to compete with the youth minister. We are here to team up with the youth minister to advance the kingdom for God's glory, not our own anything. So I just feel like that's really important to say. I would say, first of all, the first step beyond that would be to assess the needs. I think a lot of times people go, oh, yeah, I want to do a girls ministry. I see that the girls need something. So I see this church doing this, this church doing this. This is an event. I'll put that on the calendar. And then it's just kind of like a conglomeration. It's like a patchwork quilt that, you know, it may have fun moments and it may even do some good, but it may not be the optimal approach for your own group. So I think the first thing you have to do is actually assess the needs of the girls in your own context, because it's different. We did a girls ministry in the church where we began it, and then we moved to another church. That was a different group of girls in a different setting. And so what was required and what became the, you know, like, the load-bearing walls of that ministry were different, because in our first church, it was the weekly meetings that were the load-bearing walls. And then in our second church, it was the events, because they are a more event-driven group of people. So, but you assess the needs and think in all categories. I mean, obviously in ministry, we're going for spiritual ministry. We want to introduce them to Jesus. We want to teach them how they can get to know him on their own and help them become self-motivated followers of Jesus. But also, we need to think in terms of their physical needs. We need to their social needs, all those things. List them out with your group, and then find a way to meet those specific needs, not just, you know, take a stab at it. That would be the first thing. I don't think cookie cutter ministry is the way to go ever. But that's another podcast. Also, I think you want to avoid fluff.
That's a good one.
Yeah. You want to avoid fluff. And by fluff, I mean, girls don't, if they want a pep talk or they want a feel good kind of a thing, they can get on any social media and find a pep talk. They need to know Jesus. They need to hear what God's word says. They need to be challenged to apply it to their own lives. They need all that. So that needs to be a part of it. That's not to say there can't be fun, but if all you ever do is get together and paint your nails, not only have you wasted time, but you've also probably excluded some girls that's not what they're into. They're not going to be a part of it. I mean, truly, okay, another podcast there, but I'm not chasing that rabbit. But I think that fun's good, but no fluff.
You do not have enough time. I got so much more I want to say.
Yeah, and then also I think we have to be careful to think again. We only have them for those 6 years. We're supposed to be packing their bags.
Yeah.
I mean, I think to be irresponsible with the time they do allow us is just, I mean, we need to repent of that because they're going to leave. Like we would send our kids to camp. We send them out into the big world. They get there and find out, just like it would be devastating not to have like the basics when you get to camp. It's going to be devastating for them to get out in the world and realize, all I really know how to do is act nice in a group. I don't know what Jesus says about that, where to find it, how to pray, how to hear the Holy Spirit's voice and know if it's mine or his or the world's, or I don't know any of those things, but boy, we had fun. That's what we want to avoid. So we need to be thinking in terms of what are they going to need, give it to them now. And then just also provide family, because I think the family unit has taken a huge hit. I think we all know that. And so spiritual family, the church family, I think they need to not only understand that conceptually, but experience it and have been loved on by the church family, because we all know in many, many ways, the church family can be there for you in a much more intimate and real and helpful way than even your biological family sometimes. And some of these kids just don't have it. They don't even have, like, I was raised in a family where everyone was a believer. And it was a shock to me to meet people who that's not how they were raised, like my husband. And so seeing the need for that makes me want to go, okay, I can be your sister. I can be your spiritual mom. I can be your spiritual aunt. Whatever God lets me be, I want to be a part of that and let you know you have a woman to come to answer your questions and all of that. And I think that element is what brought a lot of girls in.
Yeah, Jennifer, I think what she said a moment ago was so huge, like that. The fluff. And at first I was like, what? But you're still going to have fun. And you clarified, which I love. You talked about, it's important to have fun. Not saying you can't have fun. You can't have girly things and do all of that. But when it comes to the teaching time, right? You talked about fluff related to the teaching time. Jennifer, mm-hmm. I always thought you did a great job in our stuff that we did, Jennifer, with that. But I'm also sitting here, Jennifer, I'm curious if you agree. It also allows you not just to teach about Jesus, but it also allows you to teach specifically about topics that you might not get to talk about or interpret scripture in light of the fact that they're girls in ways that you might not get to talk about in other settings.
Yeah.
And I felt like you did a great job at that.
Yeah. You know, I think kind of what you're saying, Angela, like if you're listening to this and you're thinking, man, we need to revamp our girls ministry, we need to help it out, or we need to get a girls ministry, whatever setting your church looks like, you want to create an intentional environment where girls learn to turn to scripture first. And that would
absolutely
be my heart in girls ministry. Girls love to go to their friends, to the world, to literally, we love to talk. We'll go anywhere
TikTok
with all of our stuff. TikTok. We'll do anything.
If you're not watching on YouTube, I just dropped a little.
I just dropped a little TikTok.
It's going to be a new thing.
Girls will turn anywhere. And so I love what you're saying, like create an intentional environment where we teach them to go to scripture and then teach them how do you go to scripture, because it is a yes. thick book. And what am I supposed to, I don't understand what yes. that
even
means.
And, yeah.
and so, yeah, sometimes you need to be able to talk just to girls in an environment that's different than boys and be able to, and again, you know your culture. You know, I have some girls that, like, if I said let's paint nails for girls ministry, they'd be like, are you kidding me?
Right.
I never want to be a part of this ministry ever.
Yeah.
You know, it's like
right.
girls are not all the same. Like this
no.
cookie cutter thing. I think sometimes
no.
you can look at a girls ministry online and think I am failing in girls ministry if mine doesn't look like this, but be
right.
present with the students that God's given mm-hmm. you and faithful to them and what it needs to look like for them. And again, I think if your goal can be to teach them how to themselves turn to scripture, I think sometimes girls ministry mm-hmm. can get a little bit, need some caution. This is not your chance now as a girl to get to prove that you're the greatest teacher ever if you're a volunteer
right.
listening to this.
Right.
Sometimes people want to do girl-only events so that they can show everyone how amazing they and gifted they are at teaching. That's not the goal. The goal is that
right.
we're teaching girls
right.
to turn to scripture. And
yes.
so
right.
a great way to do that.
Well,
Angel, do you have a couple more first steps?
Yes.
You can respond, of course, as well. Yeah.
Yeah. I just wanted to jump in on what you're saying. And I agree with that completely. Everything you said about the teaching time, absolutely very important. And I also think that we have to use that time to model that in our relationships. Like if the only time that we're talking with girls about what Jesus says and what he's done in our lives is during the structured teaching time, then we're teaching them to also compartmentalize a little bit. I think it's important for us to take that time, mm-hmm. the relational time that we have, to actually be asking and guiding. And that means modeling scripture memory, because you can't be ready for conversations
yes.
like that if you're not packing your own bags, you know, so to speak. But anyway, so I think across
right.
the board, the teaching time specifically should not be fluff. But I think also even our conversations, we should model that Jesus is a part of every aspect of our life, not just during this and during that and during that. And so all that to think about. I would just say, as far as the next steps goes, I mean, I went through the list that I have. As far as meeting the needs, I think you start with what you can maintain. You only add as you can maintain.
Oh,
I think
good.
That's important, too, because I see so many that they're like, we're going to do this thing. We're going to go to this retreat, have this sleepover. All the volunteers burn out. The girls can't come to everything because they have conflicting schedules. Then they feel left out. Everybody's behind. Add incrementally. The most important things first, I would add a Bible study of some kind first. And I didn't mean to say when I said no
yeah.
fluff that you can't have things that are purely fellowship. That's important. Solid relationships are important.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Well.
Good. So anyway, I would just say that as you are adding whatever you decide to add with you and your team, hopefully you have girls on your team, add what you can maintain and do well. Be willing to evaluate and make changes as necessary in the least painful and controversial way. I don't think you burn down the house. Like if you've already got a girls ministry and you're like you said, oh, we need to revamp. That doesn't mean burn it down and start from scratch. That means where can we make some tweaks now? Where can we make some adjustments, which is a little bit bigger changes, at the next logical break, like at the next semester? Where can we make changes?
Right.
And where I say changes, that's where you drop something or you add something. And just because you drop something doesn't mean it had no value. You're just reassigning the resources
right.
you were using there in a more effective way. So everybody has to kind of, but I think you have to bring a team along with you. You can't be the only person that knows what you're trying to accomplish. So this whole conversation that we're having here, I would hope that if someone's listening and goes, that they wouldn't just go tell everyone, they'd like share the podcast so everyone can be on the same page.
Okay.
Casting vision is so important as you go along. So
and
that's what I would have to,
you know, you say that bring a team, you know,
mm-hmm.
if you're gonna do girls ministry well, get some girls on your team.
Like absolutely.
Our students, you know, they change. They grow up. They
yeah.
change every few years. Guy ministry, girls ministry, student ministry, if you want to
mm-hmm.
start something and build something, get some buy-in from the people that you're ministering to. And,
yeah.
And use them as part of your team and your resource, which would be
right.
great.
Yeah. Well, and two, I would say, I think we have a tendency to think of our leaders as being, you know, like our leadership team or whatever, and they're the people we always go to first. I think having a more fluid approach to go with who's excited. They, you know, if they know the Holy Spirit, if they know the Lord, then the Holy Spirit's equipped them. They may have been sitting on that and not fanning that in the flame or developing that the maybe the way that they should, but maybe this is their opportunity. I don't think we always have to make them prove themselves first. I think we bring them on, and let them do what they can do. Not every student should teach. I think very few students should teach after a lot of training and, you know, supervision and help with that. But they're, you know, a lot of girls that haven't walked with Jesus very long or were saved and then have not grown can answer the door with more enthusiasm than half our typical leadership team. So I think including all of them, even in service, not just making them feel welcome when they walk in the door, but you all can be a part of this kind of thing. And we absolutely need you to do these things because there are some things that don't require specific spiritual gifting that they can be a part of. And we know that when, you know, where someone's treasure is there, their heart will be also. So as we let them invest, that's where the excitement starts to snowball too. But yes, definitely bring those girls in. So.
That's good. Well, Angela, we could no doubt spend another hour.
Yes.
I mean, because and honestly, we probably could break this into several episodes, you know?
Yeah.
That said, I heard a couple of really good things in this. If I'm a volunteer and we've got nothing going on, I start out by evaluating. I take a look at what we are. And I don't do that in 1 week. I do that all over time.
Right.
I think through the opportunities. Mm-hmm. And then I don't have to go all in and do everything. I've kind of heard you say start small.
Right.
Essentially. You know?
Right.
Add that one or two thing. Establish that. And make sure you're casting vision. Now, that's kind of a, you know, for the podcast, kind of a brief overview of where to get started. But, friends, the book really is excellent as far as laying a groundwork on how to do this. And there's all kinds of suggestions, even in getting the church involved. And there's talking about, you know, lots of great layers there. Angela, if somebody were interested in the book, where would they find the book?
Okay, they would need to go to Angela Sanders Writes, and I want to be specific. It's WRITES.com. That's my website. They will find the book there. I was about to hold it up to the screen, my QR code, but I don't think that would actually work. So AngelaSandersWrites.com is where they would go for that. No,
I'll put it in the show notes page. So if anybody click on your show notes, and I'll put the link in the show notes as well.
Great.
And reach out to us if you're having a hard time getting access to that. Is it on Amazon as well, or is that just LinkedIn?
It is not. It is only through my website right now.
It's not. Only through you. That's great.
Yes,
no, I think that's awesome. And you did this thing. Listen, friends, it really is a great resource. I hope you will consider getting that. And the only reason I'm promoting this thing is because I think it's good, and I think it would be helpful to somebody else. So consider being a part of that. And, Angela, thank you for spending time with us today.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Awesome to see you. Are you on the social medias, by the way? Or are you on like the
social media? I am. I'm on the socials. I'm on Facebook and I'm on Instagram.
Are you on the TikTok?
I'm not on the TikTok. You know what you did. Well, like, yeah, no, I'm not on that. I don't think I've answered that.
And I failed. Thanks for pointing it out.
No, and my handle or whatever it's called, my name is at AS Writes. Again, WRITES. So.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Okay, good. Well, that's how you find her. Hey, again, thanks for being here, everybody. I hope that you've enjoyed the episode. Hey, just a reminder before we hang up here real quick and before we wrap this thing up, I should say, we do have a Facebook group. If you have ever wanted to connect with other folks, ask questions about how to do girls' ministry, ask questions about anything, I want to invite you to our student ministry network Facebook group. And all you have to do, man, if you go search student ministry network Facebook group, you'll find it on Facebook, or you can just go to studentministrynetwork.com and it is there as well. There's a link if you'll scroll down that will get you there. And so we'd love for you to consider just being a part of that thing. Again, studentministrynetwork.com. And man, thank you again for listening today. We've really enjoyed this episode. It's been fun.
Yeah, and guys, I hope that you made it this far. If you did, don't worry. Mm-hmm. We're back talking to guys and girls specifically in our next episode. Episode 39 is coming up. Y'all, I'm really excited for this. It's talking about ministering to the kids whose parents are not involved in your church.
Yeah.
And sometimes I think we can just assume that the parents are on our team. But we know personally, and I'm sure some of you have this story, so many families who've been brought to the Lord because their kids got involved in a student ministry. And so we're going to go through so many different aspects of how this looks, but make sure you join us, episode 39 coming up.
Yeah, and Jennifer, cool thing about this next episode, this is actually a listener-recommended episode.
Nice,
A guy named Steve Nichols, shout out Steve, from a small town in South Georgia, reached out to me with this idea, and I thought it was excellent. So I'm looking forward to having this conversation, for sure. It's going
to
be good.
I think it's going to be great. Help us figure out how to do family ministry well,
Yeah, it's good.
And also maybe not make those kids feel, we'll talk next time. All these thoughts, stay tuned. We're going to talk episode 39 coming up. But man, we are just so thankful that you've joined us. We are thankful to the Georgia Baptist Mission Board for letting us provide this resource and great people like Angela to get on, to get to talk student ministry together. And super thankful for the churches that give to the cooperative program that make this happen each week.
It's good stuff. Good stuff. Well, hey friends, if y'all need anything, you again can find us at studentministrynetwork.com. We will see you next time on the Youth Ministry Podcast for Volunteers.